Wow, you look good out there this morning, and you sound good as you sing. I want to share my appreciation for the Battleground Community Church Children's Choir, who made their first appearance here today, their first inaugural performance. That was awesome, kids. I don't think any of them are in here now. Possibly went to next door for the kids' ministry, but thank you for that singing, those who helped them with that today. That was truly awesome. And the worship team, thank you again for setting the table for the message today. Noel, Christ has come, and his name is Emmanuel. Let me introduce myself. I'm Mike Fulbright. I'm on the leadership team here. I'm not the pastor. Pastor Stephen Littlejohn is here. Raise your hand, Pastor. He usually takes care of the week-to-week preaching. But during the season of Advent, we broke it up into several different weeks and several different men in the leadership team, again, serving as elders to come and speak to you about each of the candles that was lit. One each week. Again, one for hope, peace, joy. Today, love. On Christmas Eve, I think we'll light the Christ candle, which is an exciting thing to look forward for this week, is the white one in the center. So, well, all I know to do is get going here. And again, we've come together to worship the Lord today. Go ahead and put a couple markers here in my Bible. I think I have all the scripture listed in the ESV today. Most of you carry ESV. If it's a King James verse I'm reading, just show a little grace on that to me, and we'll get through it all together. So I know there's at least a couple in there, purposefully. I like the King James, as you know. So let's get going here. Transformative love. Transformative love. You'll hear those two words many times during the presentation this morning, the sermon, if you will, the talk. And I want you to hold on to those as we go through. Our journey through Advent has been well represented, beginning even as Pastor Joey several weeks ago at Thanksgiving challenged us to approach life through that prism of Thanksgiving using Psalm 100. And then following, we've heard messages of, again, representing the first candle, hope, and then peace, and then joy. And I like the way these men represented those three things. Yes, it's an emotion, but it's also a person. Agree with me on that today, as love also, we'll see, is a person. Today, we'll continue with that, and as Pastor Stephen kind of set the table last week, the greatest of these is love, from 1 Corinthians 13. The fourth candle here this morning that's been lit, thank you, Noah, for reading that scripture and lighting that for us today. The youth have been active in those roles during these weeks. It's known as the angel candle. It's the last of the purple candles and represents the role of angels as they heralded in the birth of the newborn king, singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. As the candle kindles its glow, let us be reminded of the eternal love of God for us, and it's a love that embraces us and calls us into a transformative love with Christ. I'll give the charge here at the front of the message today. I want us to challenge ourselves this morning as we view the display of Advent here, hope, peace, joy, and love. Embrace the light of the gospel this morning. Your response should be to take his transformative love to share with a lost world as we go outside of this building. This flame means flame, lighting flame, without diminishing its own. That's the way the gospel is spread. The gospel in you, through Christ's transformative love, the babe, the king, being born in a manger, the baby Jesus, flame, lighting flame, without diminishing your own. Such is the nature of God's love. It multiplies exponentially as we share with others. If your candle is dim today, I ask you to receive the fuel this morning of transformative love. And as Spurgeon said, even but the smallest piece of wick on a candle burning for the cause of Christ will illuminate a dark world. Embrace love today, God's love, and seek opportunities to express transformative love. God's gift to the world, Messiah, has come. The love story didn't begin in Luke chapter 2, which is the typical readings that we have for the Christmas time. We see the Christmas message, the birth of Christ there. But it didn't begin there, nor did it begin in the Old Testament or even in the story of creation. The Christmas story began before creation as God was determining the means, the structure, the engineering, or the calculus, if you will, of having a people to be in fellowship with, a people that he loved and a people that loved him and desired to be in fellowship with him. We see that very personal love demonstrated in the garden when God called out to Adam. It says in the Bible, the voice of God filled the garden. He called out to him saying, Adam, Adam, where are you, Adam? In that moment, the Creator desired to be in fellowship with the created. The Christmas season is a time of gathering, and we too will call out to those we love and those we want to see in anticipation of some response. We'll gather as families, as friends, celebrate, again, the birth of the baby Jesus. We're warmed by the faces of those we'll see and those reunions that will take place. I was riding with a friend last week in a truck. We were running an errand. He came over to buy a couple cows from me. It's a good time for that this year. Get a little extra Christmas money in your pocket. But I had a phone call during that time, and I looked, and it was Renee, my wife. And so I answered, we have some things going on in our family, some critical things, and I'm always worried when I see that name in the phone. You know what it means. Some of you are in that same area caring for loved ones. So she said, hey, I see all the cars are in the driveway. Where are you? And I said, well, I'm taking a ride with a friend, going over weighing these cattle to be sold. And she said, well, good, I was just checking on you. Just checking on you. It's good to have somebody to check on you, isn't it? I miss those days that my dad would call me nearly every day. Son, just wanted to see how you're doing today. That's all. Don't want to interfere with your day, your work, or your pleasure. How are you doing? Have you checked on anybody this week? I'm just asking. Just asking. Be a good practice going forward. Following that encounter in the garden, the story of Messiah then was pulled through the Old Testament by prophets and priests, types and kings and angels, bringing to us the greatest expression of divine love, the incarnation, God taking on flesh. For a few minutes, let's look at the Christmas story. I want to share the roles that angels played in the Christmas story. So we're going to tell the Christmas story today too, and then add a little bit of that at the end. The angels were there again to calm the events surrounding the incarnation. And by the way, you could use some of these verses if you take this outline home for your family devotion during the week this week as you gather to celebrate Christmas and God's transformative love. Hopefully you'll be ready and willing to share that story with those. First, we see in the story Joseph. He was a man probably like many of us men, desired to have a future, a family, a job, a retirement at some point. But we see in the text his journey was anything but normal. I'm going to ask you today, don't settle for the norm this year. Joseph had discovered that his betrothed or fiancée was with child, not of his own making. By Jewish law, he could have left her or put her away, and he had chosen to do so quietly, as we see in Matthew. I want to turn to Matthew chapter 1 for a minute. And again, I'll encourage you, if you don't have a paper Bible to carry, get you a copy of God's Word to take with you as you go. Chapter 1, verses 20 through 25. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save people from their sins. Now when all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, that's in Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin shall conceive, bring forth a child, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Nothing normal about Joseph's journey, but received comfort from the angel, received the divine plan revealed through the angel. Joseph refused the norm. He could have put Mary away and exposed her to humiliation and punishment. You have to think about that too in the story, even being stoned to death. But again, the comfort from the angels bid Joseph to refuse the norm. Mary had a similar encounter. Luke chapter 1, if you want to turn over there right quick. In verses 28 through 31. The angel came to her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with you, and blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind that manner of salutation that should be. The angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Mary, too, was troubled in the situation. Then, encouraged by Gabriel, the angel, it gives the angel's name there in Luke, that the abnormal was very much the normal. It was to become the divine plan and that path towards Messiah. By faith, Mary refused the norm. Mary's response to the divine encounter is recorded in verse 46. I'm going to flip my pages. She sings. It's the song of Mary it's referred to. "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Shouldn't that be our response as well? Realizing that transformative love has come. Emmanuel. Shepherds, too, were involved in the angel story. And in Luke 2, as the story moves forward, verses 9 and 10. "Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said, Fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." As we look at the shepherd's role here, their behavior is anything but normal. What shepherd would run away from the flock, leaving the sheep vulnerable, maybe to predators or thieves, or possibly even the flock could have run off during this time? But after they first being terrified by an angel and the illumination of God's glory, can you imagine that? The illumination of God's glory shone round about them, the text says. They left the flock and made haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger, the newborn king, the Christ king. Now, it's fitting here to mention the wise men. We sing, I think it's even in the old Baptist hymnal, "We three kings of Orient are." Don't think there's any scriptural basis that they were kings, but they were from the east, possibly Babylon, which is today's Iraq, Iran, that area. And they, too, had seen a vision of a new king being born and were traveling that way. It's by divine providence, though, that they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod. Herod got in the picture. Herod was the king at the time. He had heard of the newborn king, and he was up to no good. He wanted to find who his competition was and destroy this king that was born that people were going to worship. We see here, though, the first Gentile representation of people moving toward Messiah. Yes, the kings or the wise men did come. They brought gifts, myrrh, frankincense. So they are, too, a part of the Christmas story. Not when the babe was born, but it says they went to the house sometime later as they traveled from a faraway distance. Christmas can be a very, what's in it for me season. What do you think, kids? What's in it for me? Everybody got your list in, I trust, by now? If not, it's getting a little late. It's become the norm for many. But someone has to tell the story, the real story. So as you meet with loved ones this season, be assured, it's about the King. And as you participate in those reunions and those calling out and hearing those voices and seeing those faces, be sure to think of the flame here on the Advent candle. And again, pass the flame to flame, to light the flame of transformative love in those that you love. Refuse to be selfish. Okay, Christmas story's in set. It's in place. Let's get into action here for a few minutes. I'm going to change the channel, as they say. Romans 8, we'll go to Paul for just a few minutes. Romans 8 argues that, don't you love how the Apostle Paul, when he presents something, he's presenting an argument to us, and his writings, they kind of get kind of repetitive. Paul wants us to get it. Verse 9, Romans 8, 9, we've just reviewed this several weeks ago in preaching here in our church. Romans 8 and 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So consider this for a moment, church. If we're converted and Spirit-filled, we should produce from that Spirit a character that mirrors Christ for godly profitability. Would you agree? One or two? Okay, we're getting there. Pastor Stephen again shared this verse last week, but it's worth parking here for just a couple of moments. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. I think about the lyric in the hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Renee says I'm an abstract thinker. I don't know whether to thank her for that or not, so abstract thinker. I was researching the origin of that hymn last week and discovered that idea for Rock of Ages actually came from another hymn that was popular at the time that this one was written. But the lyric in the second verse, I want us to park here just for a minute. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. You know that verse, right? And we've sang it. I love that hymn. I love to sing it. The harmonies in it are beautiful. And I'm not knocking the hymn today. The writer describes, though, how we initially come to Christ, how we approached our own salvation, emptied of ourselves. But it says transformative love that speaks to us that I don't have to carry that empty or half-filled bucket anymore. That is not who I am. If you're in Christ, simply in my hand I come, nothing in my hand I bring, you are not that person anymore. You are filled with the gifts of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and the mind of Christ. You say, well, where do I get that, Mike? Through the Holy Spirit and through this, the mind of Christ. As you read and as you meditate, you will be filled with the mind of Christ as well. We have everything here that we need to love each other well, church, and to grow his church here at Battleground, then in Kings Mountain, outside the walls, and around the world. This is flame lighting flame. This is transformative love multiplied and in action. 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love the world, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Transformative love. Church, it's not an option. It's a directive from Jesus himself. The babe in the manger is talking here. The one whom we celebrate today. Let's agree this morning to apply and practice these spiritual treasures. Here, first and foremost, again, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith filled with the mind of Christ. Sometimes it's hard to love in here. Sometimes it's hard to love in our own nuclear families. Sometimes it's hard to love out there. Transformative love, church. Luke 6:35. Love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be called the children of the highest. I'll say amen to that. All right. Moving on to Luke chapter 10. We're reminded, as again the babe in the manger quotes, to the lawyer who has approached him, or the Pharisee, the King James word, you know, what do I have to do to have all this, he says. Jesus replies, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Christ is quoting there Deuteronomy 6:5, as it is written. I'm reminded of the story there in Luke 10. A couple of verses later, the Pharisee asks, well, who's my neighbor? And again, a few verses later, Jesus replies, a certain man was going down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers. Do you remember the story? That's a good Samaritan. Who's your neighbor? Anyone with a need? You don't have to know them. They don't have to be in your circle. Anybody with a need as you go down your road of life, your journey. International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. I found it this way. I didn't know it existed, but it is a thing. But I loved this definition of love that it posts. Love, whether used of God or man, is an earnest and anxious desire for an active and beneficent interest in the well-being of the one loved. Saying I love you means you bring something with you. Saying that shows that you're truly interested in the needs of your audience. God said, I love you by sending his only son into the world to take care of our greatest need, salvation, rescuing us from our own sin. Ran across this verse recently in some study, and I was reminded again in preparation for this morning. 1 Timothy 6:20, transformative love in action again. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Paul writes, what I did is I took out Timothy's name, put my own. Do that with me this morning. Think about this. Oh, Mike, keep that which I've committed to your trust. What is he committed to my trust? Whew. What's your responsibility as a mom, a dad, a child, a family member? Transformed to love shared at your Christmas event, your family. Transformed to love shared in this place every week. And again, taking it with us outside the building. Then Paul says of himself in chapter 2, 1 Timothy 1:12. This is a good one to commit to memory, church. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. So as you keep your trust, as you look over your flock, as you make your disciples, we're all making disciples, you've heard that here before, as you go, keep those things which God has committed to your trust. How are we doing with transformative love? 1 John 4:9-10, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. It's about him. It's not about us. John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then we got to hit the meat of the gospel here this morning for a minute. Romans 5:8, God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 8:38, I'm convinced, paraphrased, that nothing can separate us from God's love. So what? Through transformative love, you have moved from, I trust, nothing in my hand I bring, to I can do all things through Christ. Spurgeon again, if each of us were incarnations of love, we should have attained to the complete likeness of Christ. We should abound in love to God, love to Christ, love to the church, love to sinners, and love to men everywhere. 1 Corinthians 13, a few verses here as we get to the end of the message today. If I could speak all languages of the earth and angels but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my own body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Transformed to love, church. So I ask you this morning, put your half-filled bucket away. Put the bucket of your past away today. Fill it with God's transformative love. The advent of whom the baby Jesus, Christ Emmanuel, has come. We celebrate during this week. Your believers, refuse the norm this season. Love selflessly here and out there, and proclaim to the world the message, Messiah has come. Believe him and receive him today. Pray with me. Father, again, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to stand before your people and to encourage them today that Messiah has come. We are not the same people we used to be. And with that knowledge, Lord, strengthen us, encourage us. I pray, Lord, that this word that's been passed through my lips today, my offering of the word, is received as fitly for the people this morning. Again, apply it to our hearts, apply it to our learning. Lord, and as we continue, accept our worship. In Jesus' name, amen.